إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so continuing with the chapter of Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari, we had now reached the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah in the chapter Bab Qawlillahi Tabaraka wa Ta'ala قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. The chapter which Al-Imam Al-Bukhari entitled with the ayah from Surah Al-Isra 110, say, call upon Allah, or call upon Ar-Rahman, whomsoever you call upon, then indeed he has the most beautiful and perfect of names. This ayah, which you can return to in Surah Al-Isra 110, that is the ayah that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari used as the chapter heading here. Then within that particular chapter, he will mention certain narrations that talk about this topic of Tawheed, which in this chapter will be about the Tawheed of Al-Asma' wa-Sifat, the Tawheed of names and attributes. In the previous narrations, we've spoken about Tawheed being the foundation, that Tawheed is the principle that you must call to in the opening of the da'wah. We've spoken about the uluhiyya to a degree. In this particular chapter, the focus of these narrations is the names and attributes. Tawheed al-asma'i wa-sifat. And in this particular ayah, where Allah says, whether you call upon Allah or you call upon Ar-Rahman, then all of those are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that the reason this particular ayah was revealed is ذُكِرَ أَنَّ سَبَبَ نُزُولِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَنَّ قُرَيْشًا سَمِعُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولْ يَا اللَّهُ يَا رَحْمَنْ فَقَالُوا هَذَا الرَّجُلْ يَقُولْ إِنَّ الْإِلَهَ وَاحِدْ وينهانا أن نجعل له شريكا وهو يدعو إلهين يا الله يا رحمن. فأنزل الله هذه الآية قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا أي ادعوا ربكم باسم الله أو باسم الرحمن. وقوله ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن ليس معنى أن هناك من يسمى بالله ومن يسمى بالرحمن، ولكن المعنى ادعوا الله باسم الله أو باسم الرحمن، هذا معنى الآية، يعني قولوا يا الله وقولوا يا رحمن. There is a narration which tells us the reason behind the revelation of this ayah. And in fact, some of the scholars have written books where they explain the reasons behind the revelations of ayat. So this particular ayah, there was a story behind the reason for its revelation. The ayah where Allah says, call upon Allah or call upon Ar-Rahman, all of them are the names of Allah. They say the reason and the story behind this ayah being revealed is that the Quraysh, the Kuffar, on one occasion, they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling upon Allah. And when he was calling upon Allah, he was saying, Ya Allah, and he was saying, Ya Rahman, which we know is another one of the names of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ was heard by the Quraysh saying, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. So then they said, look at this man, meaning Muhammad ﷺ. Look at this man. He tells us that there is only one Allah. There is only one God. Yet he, right now, despite telling us not to make any partners with that one Lord, is now calling upon two different Lords. He's calling upon Allah, and then he's calling upon Rahman. He's calling upon two different ones, yet he tells us there's only one, and that we cannot make partners. So then the ayah was revealed saying, whether you call upon Allah, whether you call upon Ar-Rahman, all of these are names of the one Lord. They are not different entities. They are not different deities. They are not multiple gods. They are all names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say this is the reason behind the revelation of this ayah, that they heard the Prophet ﷺ calling upon Allah with the name Allah and with the name Rahman. So they said, look at him, he tells us there's only one, but he's calling upon two different ones. So then the ayah came saying, whether you call upon Allah, whether you call upon Ar-Rahman, all of those are from the beautiful names of Allah, and Allah is one. The opening hadith in this particular chapter then, who will read? Read, loud voice.
عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب وأبي ضبيان عن جرير بن عبد الله
عمن
جرير
عن جرير
عن جرير عن عبد الله
عن جرير ابن عبد الله
عن جرير بن عبد الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
Okay. Loud voice.
قال حدثنا محمد أخبرنا أبو معاوية عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب وأبي ضبيان عن جرير بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
لا
لا يرحم الله لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
آدم ابنه.
آدم ابنه.
Your father's name? Adam ibn Bashir al-Libi. Saduqun lahu awham. Anybody else? Where's I'm going?
قال حدثنا محمد أخبرنا أبو معاوية عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب وأبي ضبيان عن جرير بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
ثقة. Anyone else? Go on.
قال حدثنا محمد قال أخبرنا أبو معاوية عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب وأبي ضبيان عن جرير بن عبد الله قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
قال حدثنا محمد أخبرنا أبو معاوية عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب وأبي ضبيان عن جرير بن عبد الله قال 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 رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس.
Where's Sheikh Yunus gone? Where is he? Read. So in this particular hadith now, we have the first part of the chain of narration. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ. This is Muhammad ibn Salam al-Baykandi. Muhammad ibn Salam al-Baykandi. Then he says, أَخْبَرَنَا أَبُو مُعَاوِيَةٌ. Abu Muawiyah is Muhammad ibn Kharim al-Tamimi, al-Sa'di al-Kufi, thiqatun ahfadun nasi fi hadith al-A'mash. And that is the sheikh who he narrates from here. Al-A'mash, this is a famous one you hear often. Al-A'mash, what was his name? Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-Asadi Abu Muhammad al-Kufi, thiqatun hafidh, lakinnahu yudallis. Al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mahran. An Zayd ibn Wahab al-Juhani, Abu Sulaiman al-Kufi, and he was a Muhadram. Who is a Muhadram? Somebody who was alive at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he never actually met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is thiqa. Abu Dhabyan is Hussein ibn Jundab al-Jambi, and he is thiqa. An Jarir ibn Abdullah, the companion. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu al-Bajali, and he became Muslim in the year 10 Hijri, it is mentioned. Right at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. That Allah does not show mercy to the one who does not show mercy to the people. Allah does not give mercy or show mercy to the one who does not show mercy to the people. The purpose of this hadith here is to highlight one of the names and attributes of Allah, and that is the attribute of mercy, because the hadith affirms that Allah has the attribute of mercy to the people. Allah has the attribute of mercy to the people, and we know that Allah has the name of Ar-Rahman and also Ar-Rahim. All of these names that indicate this attribute of mercy. Because we know that the principles when it comes to the qawa'id of Al-Asma'u wa Sifat, we know that every name that Allah has, every name has from it an attribute. So every name, there is a sifa. But every sifa does not have to have a name. So there are more. Which one? More names or more sifat? There are more sifat. There are more sifat than there are asma. Because every name always has an attribute that goes with it, but not every attribute always has a name. Therefore, there are more attributes than there are names. What do we mean that every name of Allah has an attribute? Every ism has a sifa. For example, Ar-Rahman, that is a name of Allah. What is the attribute that comes from this name of Allah? Therefore, Ar-Rahman, the merciful one, therefore has the attribute of mercy. You mention other names of Allah, like the name Allah. The name Allah, what do we understand from that? Al-Uluhiyyah. From the name Allah, we understand Al-Uluhiyyah. Other names, for example, you say Al-Ghafoor, the oft forgiving. That is one of the names of Allah. The attribute, therefore, is forgiveness. You have As-Sami' al-Basir, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. That indicates Allah has the attributes of hearing and seeing. Every name of Allah has an attribute that goes with it. But there are certain attributes that you do not necessarily derive a name to go with. Examples of that, the Shaykh is going to give some examples here. Like you may say that Allah is Al-Mutakallim, for example, that Allah speaks. Allah speaks, of course, Allah speaks. Allah has the attribute of speech. The Qur'an is Al-Qur'anu Kalamullah, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوق مِنْهُ بَدَأَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ. So Allah speaks, has the attribute of speech. But is one of the names of Allah Al-Mutakallim? It is not. So there you have an attribute, but you do not have a name for it. For example, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. So Allah wants and wills things to occur. But do we say one of the names of Allah is Al-Murid? No. So there are some attributes, there are some sifat, where there are not necessarily names. But every name you do come across will always have an attribute. That has to be. It is the people of innovation, Ahlul Bid'ah. What did they say? From some of the deviated ones, they have deviated statements like, for example, some of them affirm the names of Allah, but they reject the attributes of Allah. So they say Allah is As-Sami' Al-Alim. He is the all-seeing, the all-hearing, the all-knowledgeable in the names, but he doesn't have seeing, and he doesn't have hearing, and he doesn't have. They say the name is affirmed, but the attribute is not. They say Allah is Ar-Rahman bila Rahmah. He is Ar-Rahman, but we don't say He has mercy. Ridiculous. Clearly you can see straight away it is ridiculous. Every name of Allah, you take from it an attribute. But not every attribute will always have a name. Why is that? Why do some attributes not have names? Because the names of Allah are kulluha husna. All of them are in the pinnacle, at the peak of beauty and perfection. They are at the pinnacle and at the peak of beauty and perfection. All of the names of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Therefore, you cannot give Allah a name or derive a name which could have a good and a potential bad meaning. Al-Mutakallim, for example, the one who speaks. When a person speaks, then is that speech always good? It could be speech that is good, and it could be speech that is bad. So therefore there is a possibility of a bad connotation, of a bad meaning. And if there is a possibility of a bad meaning, then that cannot be one of the names of Allah. Al-Shaykh Al-Athaymeen, he says, أسماء الله تعالى كلها حسنى والحسنى هي المشتملة على أكمل وجوه الحسن فهي حسنى ليس فيها نقص بوجه من الوجوه. There is no imperfection in the names of Allah from any angle. There is no imperfection whatsoever. فيفهم من هذه القاعدة أنه لا يوجد في أسماء الله اسم يحتمل معنيين معنى حسن ومعنى غير حسن. Therefore, upon this principle, there cannot be any name of Allah which can incorporate two meanings, a good meaning and a bad meaning. All of the names of Allah only incorporate the good and the beautiful and the perfect meaning without any deficiency. Anything which can hold deficiency, then it is not one of the names of Allah. فَكُلُّ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ لَا بُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ حُسْنًا أي بَالِغَةً الْكَمَالِ فِي الْحُسْنِ. that they are at the peak and the pinnacle of beauty and perfection. فلا يمكن أن يوجد فيها اسم يحتمل معنى حسنا ومعنى غير حسن. So there cannot be any name from the names of Allah that has a good meaning and a bad meaning too. Cannot be. The names of Allah are all upon perfection only. ولهذا لم يكن من أسماء الله المتكلم لأن من أسمائه ولا من أسمائه المريد مع أنه متكلم ومريد لأن المتكلم من قام به الكلام والكلام قد يكون حسنا وقد يكون سيئا وكذلك الإرادة. So because when you speak it can be good speech, it could be bad speech. Speech by itself isn't just praiseworthy, depends, could be good, could be bad. What you desire and you will could be good, could be bad. These are affairs where deficiency could come into them. Hence, they are not termed as names of Allah. They are attributes, of course. Allah speaks, Allah wills. But they are not names because names are only going to be what is absolutely perfection. And no deficiency could come into them. وَلِهَذَا لَا يَصِحُّ أَن يُسَمَّ اللَّهُ بِالْمُتَكَلِّمِ وَلَا أَن يُسَمَّ بِالْمُرِيدِ لكن يوصف بأنه متكلم وأنه مريد لأن باب الإخبار أوسع من باب التسمية. So we can describe and attribute to Allah that He speaks and He wills, but we do not make it a name that He is the speaker, the willer, المتكلم, المريد. So that is a general rule to understand about the names and attributes of Allah. Every name always has an attribute. Allah is Ar-Rahman, therefore He has mercy. Allah is As-Sami', therefore He has the hearing. Allah is Al-Basir, therefore He has the seeing. Allah is Al-Alim, therefore He has knowledge. Every name, there is an attribute. Not like the people of innovation, they say Allah is the all-knowledgeable, but He doesn't have the attribute or the characteristic of knowledge. Makes no sense. And not like the people, in fact, we'll get to the others. So, that is the first rule. All of the names of Allah are perfect and beautiful, no deficiency in them. Every name of Allah always has an attribute, but there are some attributes which may not have names. So there are more attributes than there are names. Then what we need to mention as well is four basic rules when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. We need to mention four basic rules, and these are mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyyah. He says, "Nasifu Allah bima wasafa bihi nafsa." We describe Allah with whatever Allah described Himself. We describe Allah in the manner that Allah described Himself in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We describe Allah in the manner that Allah has described Himself with in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And therefore we affirm everything Allah has affirmed. We do the ithbat of everything Allah has affirmed for Himself in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Which therefore means we also negate from Allah. We negate from Him, ننفي عنه what? Everything which Allah has negated from Himself. We affirm everything Allah affirmed for Himself. And we negate everything Allah negated from Himself. Affirming, like these examples we just gave, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. We affirm Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. What about examples of where we negate what Allah has negated from Himself? Ayatul Kursi. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Sleep and slumber does not overcome Allah. Allah negates from Himself sleep and slumber. Therefore, we negate from Allah sleep and slumber. That is the meaning. We affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself. We negate what Allah has negated from Himself. Allah negates, tells us that sleep, slumber, it does not, slumber meaning tiredness and laziness, it does not overcome Allah ever. Allah negates that from Himself. So we negate that from Allah. And everything Allah affirms for Himself, Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the all-knowledgeable. All of that Allah has affirmed for Himself, we affirm it also. That is how it is to be done. Affirm what Allah has affirmed, negate what Allah has negated. And there are four rules when it comes to that. Four principles. We affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, and we negate what Allah has negated from Himself, bearing in mind four things. The first one, bila ta'til. We do not fall into ta'til. Ta'til basically is rejection. We do not reject the names and attributes of Allah. Ta'til meaning to nullify, to nullify and to make blank, to make absent, to reject. We do not reject the names and attributes of Allah. What Allah has told us about Himself in the Quran and the Sunnah, we affirm. We do not make ta'til. We do not reject them. Secondly, tahrif. Tahrif, distortion and alteration. Distortion and alteration. We do not try to distort, and we do not try to alter and change what Allah has told us about Himself in the Quran and the Sunnah. Some of the people of innovation, they do tahrif. They change and alter what Allah has told us about Himself in the Quran and the Sunnah. Why? Because they cannot understand in their minds, they cannot comprehend in their intellect certain names and attributes. So they alter them and they tweak them to fit into their own minds. An example of that, some of the people of innovation, they say Allah does not speak. They do not affirm the sifa of speech to Allah. Some of the people of innovation, they say Allah does not speak. They do not affirm the attribute of speech to Allah. So now, in the Quran, there are ayat where Allah tells us He speaks. Clearly, these people of innovation now need to do something to interpret those ayat, to alter them and distort them, make the tahrif, so that it will fit with their aqeedah that Allah doesn't talk. For example, the famous ayah, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. كَلَّمَ is a fi'il. Allahu لَفْظُ الْجَلَالَ الْفَاعِل. مُوسَى مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa. Straightforward verb, actor, maf'ul bihi, for those who know. In Arabic language, that is how it works. There is a verb, there is a person doing the verb, and there is something the verb is being done to. That is what you have here. Wa kallama Allahu. There's a dhamma on the word Allah. Wa kallama Allahu Musa. Allah spoke to Musa. What do the people of innovation do? They say, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. By changing اللَّهُ to saying it as اللَّهَ, it changes the meaning of the whole ayah. By saying it that way, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, now it means Musa spoke to Allah. Because now you're making the maf'ulun bihi Allah. Musa spoke to Allah. You're making Musa fa'il. That's what they want to do. They want to say Musa spoke to Allah. That's what the ayah is saying. It's not saying Allah spoke to Musa. So look at how they distort the ayah and change it by that one sound. That one sound in Arabic can change the meaning altogether. Kallam Allahu, they say, wa kallam Allaha. Distortion, alteration. We do not do that. We do not distort or alter. In another example, ثم استوى على العرش. Allah rose above His throne. Allah is the Most High, above all of His creation. Some of the people of innovation want to say Allah is في كل مكان. They want to say Allah is everywhere. They don't want to affirm that Allah is above, above all of the creation, separate and distinct. بَائِنٌ عَنْ خَلْقِ. That He is above and separate and distinct, above all of this creation. They don't want to affirm that. They want to affirm that Allah is everywhere. But in the Quran, Allah says He rose above the throne. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Rose above the throne. They need to now change and alter this ayah somehow so that they can make it fit with their aqidah and they can deny that Allah rose above the throne. So instead of istawa, they say istawla, lam, zaid. They add a lam. Istawa, istawla. Changes the meaning. They say the ayah means istawla, not istawa. Because istawla changes the meaning. Allah conquered. Allah conquered. Whereas istawa ala al-arsh, Allah rose above the throne. See how they added that one letter to distort and change. So the second principle of Ahlul Sunnah is we do not make tahrif. We do not distort or change anything to fit with our beliefs. The third principle, or the third point, is that we do not do takyif. That we do not give descriptions. We do not attempt to give descriptions. And these are key points. Because many people, they have a difficulty with understanding Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat. They say, you Wahhabis. The Ahlul Bid'ah, what do they say? They say, you Mujassima. You people, you give Allah a body. That's what they say. Lies. So it's very important to understand these principles. The third one is we do not do takyif, which is that we do not give descriptions. So when Allah says, He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, we affirm Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. We don't do ta'atil and reject it. We affirm it. We don't do tahrif, distort it to mean something else. We leave it as it is. Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And we don't do takyif. We don't try to give any descriptions. How does Allah hear? How does Allah see? What are the meanings of this hearing and seeing of Allah? What are the descriptions of Allah hearing and seeing? What is the kayf? That we do not go into. The reason why we do not go into that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not taught us that. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have not been given from knowledge except a small amount. We have not been given the details of how. Allah tells us He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing in the Quran. We affirm Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. How? What are the descriptions of that? How do we imagine Allah hearing and seeing? We don't. That is a bid'ah. It is wrong and we do not go into that. So the third principle is you don't try to imagine and describe the names and attributes of Allah. Affirm them as Allah has told us. Affirm them as they are. But don't try to imagine them yourself and describe them yourself. So we don't make descriptions. The fourth. What is the fourth? Bila tamthil. The fourth one is that we do not make resemblance or comparison. And it is better to say tamthil. Sometimes in some books they say tashbih. But they say it is better you say bila tamthil. Why? Why not say bila tashbih? They say better say bila tamthil. Because that is the word Allah used in the Quran. Laysa ka mithlihi shay. So they say you should say bila tamthil better than bila tashbih. So we do not make any resemblance. We do not make any comparison between Allah and the creation. There is a difference between that point number 4 and point number 3. What is the difference between tamthil and takyif? Takyif was imagination description. Tamthil, comparing and resembling and saying Allah is like this or like that. Aren't they the same?
Whereas takyif would be, we don't ask like how he descends or how he...
Takyif, the howness of something, doesn't necessitate a resemblance. When you describe something, you could just imagine something which doesn't exist. You imagine a car which has... you imagine a car with three wheels, there are cars with three wheels. But you imagine a car with two wheels, or a car with one wheel. Are there any cars with one wheels? There is no car with one wheel. But that is a takyif. It is a description you've given. You have imagined a description. But that description doesn't exist in reality. So takyif is descriptions, but not necessitating resemblances. Whereas the fourth one is descriptions upon resemblances. Therefore, every tamthil is a takyif, but not every takyif is a tamthil. So, that is the four things. The first one, therefore, is we cannot reject the names and attributes of Allah. What Allah has told us in the Quran, Sunnah, we affirm. Ta'til, no. Second one, tahrif, distortion and alteration. We don't distort or alter. Whatever Allah has told us, we leave it at that. Don't use our imaginations and change it and alter it. Thirdly, takyif. We don't try and imagine and describe it. And fourthly, we don't try to make comparison between Allah and the creation. So when we say Allah can hear and see, we don't say Allah hears and sees like we can hear and see. You don't try to imagine Allah hearing and seeing like you can hear and see. The people of innovation, there are two main groups. The people of innovation, there are two main groups. One is the mu'attila and one is the mushabbiha. The mu'attila are the ones who rejected the names and attributes of Allah. And the reason they did that, they actually did it from a principle that by default was correct. But they went to an extreme. They said, we want to make sure we never compare Allah to creation in any way. We have to stay safe from ever comparing Allah to creation in any way. That is a correct principle or not? That's correct. We do not compare Allah to creation. Correct. But they took that to such an extreme. They said the only way we can be sure that we are not comparing Allah to creation, we should just say that Allah doesn't have these names or attributes. Let's just not affirm them. Then by default, we can never be comparing them to creation if we say Allah doesn't have them in the first place. They said that's an absolute watertight plan. We say a rejection of these names and attributes, we don't affirm them. That way we can never fall into comparing Allah to creation. The policy makes sense in terms of how they understood it. If we reject all of the names and attributes in the first place, then it's impossible for us to be comparing Allah to creation because we don't affirm those names and attributes in the first place. We're never going to say Allah hears like we can hear, Allah sees like we can see, because we don't affirm Allah hears and sees, etc. Understand? So they said, in order for us to be safe, that we never compare Allah to creation in any way, we keep Him free from any type of resemblance to creation, we will reject those names and attributes. But by doing so, they actually fell into something severe. Because by doing so, they actually fell into comparing Allah to something. What did they compare Allah to? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, "The mu'attila ya'buduna adaman." They say Allah has no names, no attributes. No names, no attributes. They reject them all. So what is something which has no names, no attributes? If I say to you, describe nothing to me. Describe it. How do you describe nothing? Describe it, go on. What does nothing look like? What does nothing smell like? What does nothing feel like? So nothing is nothing. So if something hasn't got any taste, hasn't got any touch, hasn't got any appear, hasn't got anything, then it's just... So when they say Allah has no names, no attributes, they are making Allah as if He is nothingness. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, what are they worshipping? The Mu'attila are worshipping Adaman. They are worshipping nothingness then. They say they have a Lord who is not the hearing, not the seeing, not the knowledgeable. No names, no attributes. That is nothingness. Something which has no names, has no descriptions. No names, no descriptions. What have you got then? Nothing. So they fell into error. They fell into error by rejecting the names and attributes of Allah. The other side, the mushabbiha. The other side, the mushabbiha. They said, la, mu'attila wrong. We have to affirm, nuthbit asma'illah. We have to affirm the names of Allah and the sifat. Have to affirm them. But they went to ghulu in affirmation, in their ithbat. They went to ghulu, affirming so much, they said, we have to affirm. You cannot reject the names and attributes of Allah. Affirm everything Allah has said. But they went so far in their affirmation, they began to say, surely these names and attributes must be like ours then. Allah would not affirm names and attributes for Himself, which are not understandable to us. So these names and attributes must be an affirmation of something that we recognize. And so therefore they ended up saying the hearing and seeing of Allah is like our hearing and seeing. Affirmed the attributes and names so much, they ended up comparing them to creation. Again wrong. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, the mushabbiha, they worship ya'buduna sunaman. They worship an idol. They have given resemblance to Allah and the creation. So neither do we reject the names and attributes by saying we want to stay safe from comparing Allah to creation. Neither do we affirm them to the degree we make comparisons. Rather, Ahlus Sunnah, we affirm the names and attributes of Allah as Allah affirmed for Himself. We reject what Allah rejected from Himself. Without ta'til, any rejection of all these affairs. Without tahreef, any distortion of it. Without takyif, any descriptions and imaginations. And without tamthil, any comparisons. How do we know all of that? Because Allah said in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Allah. This is a rad. عَلَى مَنْ the mushabbiha. And then, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ رَدْ عَلَى الْمُعَطِّلَ. This ayah refutes the two groups of innovation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. No comparison to Allah. The ones who compared Allah to creation began to say, if Allah says He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, He must hear and see like we do. Wrong. No. Ayah in the Quran refutes that. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah. Anything you imagine, it is not like Allah. But then on the other side, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Refutes the ones who went to the extreme on the other side and began to say Allah has no names and attributes. So the ayah affirms Allah has names and attributes, but without comparison and resemblance to creation. Why is it that we cannot imagine? Why can't we imagine the names and attributes of Allah? The scholars, they give a simple example. They say, in order for you to describe something, there are three possible methods. There are three possible methods for you to describe something. One obvious method to describe something is to see it. Mu'ayana. You see that item directly so you can describe it. You have the mobile phone, you can see it directly so you can describe it. You can tell everybody what it looks like, how big it is, which type it is, how many keys on it, if there's any scratches on it. You can explain it all because you can see it. That is one way to describe something. What about if you can't see it? The people at the back, they can't see the phone. How could they go and describe it afterwards? They could seek a description, ask somebody who did see it. Somebody trustworthy who saw it. The ones who didn't see it, they could ask. So they could get that khabar from some fiqah. He tells them what the phone looks like. Then they can describe the phone. So either you see it yourself and you describe it. Or if you do not see it, you ask somebody who saw it or saw something similar to it, and then you can describe it. Or the second way, part B, the ones who didn't see it, maybe they could go and see something similar to it. So they know this is an iPhone 4, they didn't see it though, they could go and see another iPhone 4 and they could describe it. It would be practically the same as the one I've got. They're all the same. So you could see something equivalent to it. Number one way to describe it is to physically see it yourself. Number two way to describe it is ask somebody who saw it if you didn't see it yourself. Or if you didn't see it yourself, you could go and look at something which resembles and is similar to it and describe it. What if nobody has seen the item? Nobody has seen it. I say to you now, describe my phone. But I don't show you. It's in my pocket. I say, describe my phone. Nobody has seen it here. Nobody has seen it there. You can't even go and look at something similar because you don't know what it is. There is one other method of being able to describe it. I could say to you, for example, I could give you the manual that goes with my phone. The handbook that goes with my phone, the instructions book. I say, read that. That's the book that goes with my phone. So even though you've not seen the actual object, nobody else has seen the object, you could read the manual for the object, for the phone, for example. The handbook, you could read the descriptions and everything. It tells you the size of it, the weight of it, everything in those descriptions. By reading that, you would now be able to describe my phone, even though you've never seen it. But you have some reliable handbook describing it. So now the scholars, they say, when you talk about Allah, describing Allah, method number one, have any of us seen Allah to describe Him? Absolutely not. Not even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah on the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. In the hadith, لَن تَرَوْ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. You will not see your Lord until you die, after the day of judgment. So none of us have seen Allah, we cannot describe Allah in that way. The second method, which are two ways, either you ask somebody who has seen Allah, is that possible? Not even the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah yet. on the night of Al-Isra al-Mi'raj whilst he was alive. Didn't see him. None of us will see Allah until we die. Nobody else has seen Allah, we can ask. Any comparison? Obviously, none. So method number two is out. Therefore, we are left with only one method of knowing who our Lord is. Only one method. We need some reliable manual that tells us about our Lord. Because none of us have seen him. There is no comparison. There is nobody else who has seen him who can tell us. The only way we know about our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through a reliable source of knowledge. And that is the Quran and the Sunnah. What the Quran and the Sunnah tells us, that is our knowledge of Allah. Just like if I didn't show you my phone, but I gave you the manual for my phone. In the manual on the front page, you can see it says iPhone 4. Still on number 4. iPhone 4, it says. Inside it tells you the description, 10 millimeters, 5 millimeters, this much capacity of memory, gives you all the details in there. Now you know about my phone. The manual tells you. Just like the Quran and the Sunnah tells us about Allah, the names and the attributes of Allah. So then we know our Lord through that. In this manual now, if it tells you, this is the manual for my phone, it tells you that it's white. Tells you that my phone is white. The manual says it's white. If somebody comes along now and does ta'til, they say, we reject this fact. We reject the fact that this phone has a color. It is some type of see-through. Would that be a viable, would that be something acceptable? The manual says it's white, it means it's white. The manual says the phone has 8 gigabytes or whatever they call them, memory. Somebody comes along and says, makes tahreef, puts a 1 next to it, the phone has 18 gigabytes of memory. Acceptable or not? No. Because the manual says 8. Where have you got this idea? It's 18. Where has he got that idea from? Completely and utterly his own imagination, his brain, his interpretation. Where has he got that from? Nobody has ever told him that this has 18. He just imagined it, made distortion and alteration of the 8 into an 18. Or he puts a 1 after it and makes it 81. Distortion. Where? How? Are you going to accept that? Of course you won't accept it. The manual says 8, it's 8. Comparisons and resemblances to other things. Descriptions you give of yourself. Takyif. The phone, it says, it is silver or white. The phone says it is white. So you say upon the description that this particular phone, it is a fluorescent white that glows in the dark. It says white. You now imagine what this white looks like. Even white, there's 1,000 different whites. You imagine it is the fluorescent white which glows in the dark. You tell everybody that's what it is. They're going to say to you, but the manual doesn't say that. The manual just says it's white. So we know it's white. How do you know it's a fluorescent white that glows in the dark? How do you know that? Absolutely you do not. Your own interpretation, your own description you've added on, which is not in the manual. Therefore, nobody will accept that from you. You see how a simple example works. A manual tells you about this item. Somebody comes along and says, no, the manual says 8, I believe it's 18. You wouldn't accept it. Why? It's 8 in the manual. Manual says it's white. You say, no, this one's grey or it's silver. You wouldn't accept it. The manual says it's white. Where have you got from it's grey or silver? In the same way, when the Quran and the Sunnah tells us Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, doesn't tell us any descriptions beyond that, how can you then try to give your own descriptions beyond that when they are not in the Quran and the Sunnah? And you do not have access to method one or method two. You do not have access to having seen Allah or anybody else who has seen Allah. Therefore, you are doing exactly like the example. The example says 8 gig on the phone. You say, no, it's really 18. Completely unacceptable, your statement. Allah says He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. You say, no, that just means something else. Allah rose above the throne. No, that just means Allah conquered. Allah descends in the last third of the night. No, that means the power of Allah descends. The mercy of Allah descends, not Allah Himself. Like in the manual, it says, after a month, you'll get an extra memory card. You say, no, no, it's not really a memory card you get after a month. It's an extra charger you get after a month. Would it be acceptable? Completely not. The manual tells you it's a memory card. Who are you to say, no, no, it's a charger? Allah says He descends in the last third of the night to the lowest heaven. Who are you and where from are you going to say, no? That means the mercy of Allah descends, not Allah Himself. You see how it is impossible for any individual to interpret or add on any of his own descriptions. The Quran and the Sunnah is our only source of knowledge regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah says He hears, He sees, Allah says He descends in the last third of the night, Allah is the merciful, Allah is the one who forgives, all of these names, all of these attributes, we accept them as they are, without trying to distort them or change them or give descriptions or imagine them ourselves. That's what the people of innovation don't understand. They say, you people say Allah hears and sees, and that Allah has hands and other things and a face. You say these things, that means Allah is like us. You're comparing Him to creation. We say no. We affirm what Allah affirms, but without imagination and description and going into details, we don't know. We affirm as it is. I'll give you an example. If I say to you now, this is an example as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen he gave. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen he said, Rahimahullah, if you say to somebody, describe a leg. What does a leg look like? Somebody describe a leg. Describe a leg. It's a meter long, yours is a bit smaller than a meter. It's a meter long, roughly. Most people, their legs are a meter long. What else? What else can you tell us about a leg? There's a foot attached to it. Knee attached to it. There is skin on it. Bone in it. This long, this wide. That's a leg, huh? A few muscles in it. That's a leg. What if somebody comes along now and says to you, actually, no. A leg, this is a leg. About that size. Not the pen, but about that size. What if somebody comes along and says to you, a leg is the size of my fingernail? He would be telling the truth. What if somebody said to you, a leg is the size of the lamppost outside? Is he lying or telling the truth? He's telling the truth. Somebody says to you, a leg is the size of a huge tree trunk. True or false? True. Because the leg, which is the size of the lamppost, is the leg of a giraffe. True. Now it's true. The tree trunk, the size of the leg of an elephant. Now it's true or false? Now it's true all of a sudden. The size of my fingernail, 1 centimeter long. An ant, a spider. Now it's true or false? True. All of those descriptions of leg are true. But the word describing all of them is leg. The lamppost size of a giraffe is still called a leg. The 1 centimeter of an ant is called a leg. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, the same word is used to describe things which are completely different. The leg of a giraffe, is it comparable to the leg of an ant? No. Completely different when you see the leg of a giraffe, the leg of an elephant, to the leg of an ant or a spider. But they are all legs. Therefore, in creation, in this creation, we use words that have multiple different descriptions to them, but the word is the same. Therefore, if in this creation, amongst us, we can use words, and those same words can have multiple different descriptions, then what do you think will be the difference in using the same word between the creation and the creator? We hear and Allah hears. We are the hearing, we can hear, we can see, Allah hears and sees. Does that mean we hear and we see just like Allah hears and sees? The words we're using are the same, but the descriptions can be completely different. Even in creation, hearing and seeing, do they not say certain animals have night vision and they have infrared vision and all these things? Different types of seeing, but they all see. So the words we're using are the same. Hearing, seeing, knowledgeable. We have knowledge. Animals have knowledge. Animals have knowledge, some of them. They understand certain things. They have knowledge. But is their knowledge like our knowledge? Animals have knowledge. Like, if you give them food in a particular corner of the field, after a few days, all of the sheep will know where you get the food from. They will all come to that corner of the field. They have knowledge. Maybe they'll come back. So they have knowledge. Animals have understanding. But is their knowledge the same as the knowledge of a human? Even in humans. Young people, is their knowledge the same as old people? Some of these old people maybe. But mostly, no. Because older people will have more knowledge because they've been growing up more years, they've learned more things. You all got knowledge, but your level of knowledge is completely different. So the word is knowledge. You've got knowledge, he's got knowledge, he's got knowledge. You've got different types of knowledge. You've got legs, he's got legs, the giraffe has got legs. It's all the word leg, but different altogether. So even though we say Allah hears, Allah sees, then the hearing and seeing of Allah is by no means of any comparison and description to our hearing and seeing. Because even in creation, when we talk about hearing and seeing, we're all different. Animals, us, everything is different, even though the word is the same. So if there are differences in creation, then there are going to be even bigger differences when you use the word between creation and Allah, the Creator. And this is where we'll talk about it next week, about the mutaradif words and the mutabayin and all these things. We'll go into it maybe in a little bit more detail, the mutabayin and the mutaradif, words which have synonyms. They are synonyms, and the words which are exclusive of each other. You see how we can use these words as names and attributes of Allah, but it doesn't necessitate in any way any comparison to us in creation. That is clear, sah? That is clear. Couldn't be any clearer. Made it so simple there, sahih? So that is the reasoning why we affirm the names and attributes, and there is no question of comparison. No question of comparison. That famous narration when a man came to Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Malik was talking about Al-Istiwa. The man said what? كيف استوى? How does Allah rise above the throne? How? We've just been talking about it now. How? We don't know. Allah didn't tell us those details. We can't imagine them. We can't make them up. We haven't been told that in the Quran and the Sunnah in the manual. We got to stick to what's in the manual. What's in the Quran and the Sunnah. We don't know how. So when the man came and started saying to Imam Malik, how? How does Allah go above the throne? Al-Imam Malik said that famous statement, Al-Istiwa Ma'loom. The fact that Allah goes above the throne, rises above the throne, He is above all of His creation. That is something factual that we know and affirm. And therefore, Al-Imanu Bihi Wajib. Allah rises above the throne, that is known to us. We must have Iman in that. Then he said, وَالْكَيْفُ مَجْهُولُ. How Allah does that is unknown to us. But at the end he said, وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ. Asking questions about these things, how does Allah do this? And how does Allah hear? How does Allah see? How does Allah descend? How? The kayf is not allowed. It is bid'ah. How do we know it is bid'ah? Because the Sahaba and the Salaf never ever asked about how this and how Allah this and how Allah that. As the names and attributes were, we affirm them. That is all the knowledge Allah has given us. We don't go into how. They say when it comes to al-asma'u wa-sifat, fi bab al-asma'u wa-sifat, you cannot ask kayf. And fi bab al-qadr, you cannot say lima. In the qadr, you cannot say why. Why did this happen to me? And in the names and attributes, you cannot say kayf. How this, how that. So that is a brief introduction, and that is the purpose of this chapter. The hadith, will come to it now in the detail next time. But the purpose of this chapter is to understand these points. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, we're talking about the chapter of Tawheed. Here, the point is to understand the Tawheed of the names and attributes of Allah. One of the important points we'll discuss next time, remind me if I forget, is how many names does Allah have? How many names does Allah have? Anybody? 99. Anyone else? 100? Anybody else? Huh? 126? Many people believe Allah has 99 names. Don't you see all of the posters? 99 names of Allah. But that is wrong. The names of Allah are not only 99. It is wrong to believe that Allah only has 99 names. That is an incorrect aqidah, incorrect belief. Why? Then as they say, next week inshallah come and we'll discuss in detail the reason why it's wrong to believe Allah has only 99 names. Even though there's a hadith in Bukhari that says Allah has 99 names, what does it mean then? We'll have to explain that next week when we carry on in this chapter. No, this we'll discuss after. No, that point. So we'll conclude there. Any other questions?
Also, the affair of the Mushabbih and the Mu'attila, is that the Jami' or all of Ahlul Bid'ah go into either one of the two groups?
In the names and attributes, basically. Basically, in the names and attributes, they either fall into categorizations of Ta'atil or categorizations of Tashbih. One of the two. When you look into them, all of them are revolving around those. That is it. Either you reject or you compare. Inshallah, carry on next week, then after the Isha prayer. Bayquniya shortly after, in a couple of minutes. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.